And I want to say it's a real joy and honor to be back at God's house and to be with my fine friends here and seeing a lot of the people that I've known for years, Brother Ken and Sister June and Sister Darlene and them. And I appreciate each one of you being at the house of God here today. It's always an honor to come here. And today I think it's Brother Wayne's birthday and Brother Charles too, isn't it?
Next week.
Next week's your birthday. Well, we want to, I was planning on going along that line on about birthday, what God does on birthdays. For Moses' birthday, he gave him a song. He gave him a song on his birthday. Now, at our church, when somebody gets saved, it's because our church, I guess, is kind of different. When somebody gets saved in our church, we sing happy birthday to them. Because whenever you have your second birth, it's always more important than your first birth. Is that right? Your second birth is always more, because on that birthday, there's when you begin heaven's journey.
Amen.
On that birthday, on that second birthday, there is, buddy, when it's all shouted about and wrote down in heaven, on that second birth. Not on that first birth, but on that second birth. Then on that second birth, on that second birthday there, is when you start fighting the imps of hell. Amen. Is that right?
Yeah.
And you're getting ready to go to the house. But I wanted to change that around a little bit, because it seemed like everything has been talking about going home and the pain and the suffering and the things that you'd go through in this world here. And so I asked Brother Charles if he'd sing that song, thinking about my own self and maybe about yourself. If you've, for a few minutes, think about yourself 15, 20 years ago, and look, you might have had a head full of hair and a mouth full of teeth, and you wasn't having to use cold cream and the wrinkle remover and everything else on you, but boy, you've fallen apart. Amen.
Amen.
Is that right? Every one of us are. We're falling apart. We're getting closer to the grave. And the only thing that's going to stop us from going to the grave is the rapture of the church.
Right.
Is Christ to come back and get us. Believe me, it's not what I heard Farrakhan say last night. Obama's not going to come get you.
Right.
Amen. Lewis Farrakhan said last night that Obama was the Messiah of the world, the Savior that we've been waiting on. He just nuts, ain't he?
Yes, sir.
Amen. I'm trying to tell you the truth. Amen. But I was thinking about the songs that they sung about going home and about how our bodies change, because everybody here, I don't care who you are, everybody's got a home somewhere. It's either heaven or it's hell.
Yes, sir.
Is that right? Everybody's got a home somewhere. And so I begin to think about that, and I begin to think about how that Abraham, what was he looking for? He was looking for a city. Even though he lived here on this earth, he was looking for a place somewhere else in yonder land. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
He was looking for a place where the sun don't never set. And that's what we're looking for. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
He's looking for a place where the Savior is never out of sight. And so in our church and a lot of churches I go to, they sing that song, looking for a city. And then there, on old Squire Parsons' song here, I got the first word of that thing here. The first verse of that song in Beulah Land said, I'm kind of homesick for a country to which I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will be spoken, and time will be no more. Beulah Land, I'm longing for you. And if you've been saved any length of time, can I tell you something? This world loses all of its attraction for you. Is that right? You want to go to that place where there's no more sin and sickness and sorrow. But as long as you're here on this earth, let me show you something in Romans chapter 8, if you would, please. In Romans chapter number 8, can somebody give me some water, please? I appreciate it. In Romans chapter 8 and in verse 22, the Apostle Paul said in Romans 8, 22, for we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth, please underline this word, in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruit of the spirits. Even we ourselves, we groan. In other words, we cry out. We're in pain. We're in agony. And we groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, even the redemption of our body. That's what the born again child of God is waiting for. And it's waiting for the Lord to come back. And in this body, there's pain, there's sorrow, there's diseases. And Paul said, I want you to know that there's going to come a day that God's going to release us from this body.
Yes, sir.
Is that right? Now look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, and you don't have to go no further. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, I'll lay the message out, and then we'll go eat. In 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, if you would please. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and in verse number 1. 2 Corinthians 5 and number 1. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse 1. The Apostle Paul said, "For we know that if our earthly house," that's this body that you're living in, "of this tabernacle," he said, "if it be dissolved or go back to the grave," he said, "we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan," there's that word longing, we groan, we in pain, we're longing earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. That's our new body that we'll get one day. "If so, that being clothed, we shall be found naked." We shall be found naked, verse 4. "For we that are in this tabernacle," in this body, "we do groan, being burdened, not that we should be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality shall be swallowed up of life. Now he that wrought us is the selfsame of God that have given us the earnest," that's the down payment of the Spirit. "Therefore we're always confident, knowing," watch this, "while that we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord." Paul is saying, as long as you're in this body, you are absent from the Lord. Last verse, verse 8. "For we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord."
Yes, amen.
In other words, Paul said, you that are saved here today, as long as you're in this body, you're absent from the Lord. But whenever we leave this body, that we're going to be with the Lord. Now, I asked for prayer a while ago about that nursing home where they told all those old people that the nursing home was closing out. They had nowhere to go. I have been in many a nursing home. And the main theme I hear of those people that's in the nursing home is they say to me, "Brother Johnny, please pray that God will take my life and let me just go home. I'm tired of living in this body." Have you ever heard them say that? I've seen them in pain so bad. I've seen them in pain so bad until there wasn't enough morphine to put it out. They say, "Brother Johnny, please pray that God will carry me home and to get me out of this body." They say today there's over 5 million people in the nursing home. And I don't know how many millions of them today is saying, "Brother Johnny, I'm so sick and tired of living in this world. They've been abandoned. They've been lying to the state, the family, and everybody has forsook them and walked out and left them." Is that right? And that's the main thing they're saying, "Brother Johnny, I just want to go home." Have you ever been in that shape since you've been saved by the grace of God? Sure you have. You've been to the place and you've been in so much misery and pain and agony that you just felt, God, why don't you? Elijah felt that way. Job felt that way. Jeremiah felt that way. And so you wouldn't be unnatural to feel that way sometimes yourself.
Right.
Sure. Is that right? It seemed like we've spent the first 30 years of our life making a mess of everything that we do. And then we spend the next 30 years trying to make amends and the things and the heartaches and the things that we have caused. Is that right? But I want you to know that there is a time that we're going to leave this body. Paul said that as long as we're in this body, that we are away from the Lord. Is that right? Dr. Charles Weigel, that wrote that song, "Nobody Ever Cared for Me Like Jesus." He was at Erlanger Hospital in Chattanooga. Dr. Lee Robinson was in there visiting. And Dr. Weigel was laying on the bed. And he kept saying this, "I want to go home. I want to go home." And the nurse was in there. And she told Dr. Lee Robinson, she told Dr. Weigel that he can't go home. The doctor has got to release him. Dr. Lee Robinson said, "Lady, he's not talking about going back over to school. He's talking about his long home." Wow, glory to God. He's wanting to go to the home that's calling and begging him to go over there. Is that right? Now, I read you in Romans chapter 8. God has got what he calls the pain machine. There is a thing that happens in your life When you're young and your body's healthy, you don't even think about heaven. But can I tell you something? You let a little age get in your life, and when it comes in your life and pain starts getting in your body, I'll guarantee you one thing, you'll be begging God to carry you home.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, you're right.
Is that right?
Right, absolutely.
You'll be saying, God, please carry me home. Lord, I've suffered enough in this body. I just can't hardly stand no more. The lady that we was with last week, my wife, did a women's conference for her over in Charleston, West Virginia. It's not going to be very long. From diabetes, they're going to be taking her feet off. They're going to take her off. They'll cut from the feet. They'll cut from the knee. There ain't no telling how far they're going to cut. And can I tell you something? You ain't got no idea how you're going to be whenever you leave this world either. Isaac died a blind man. Ezekiel's wife died of a stroke. You have no idea how you're going to die. Is that right? Is that true?
No doubt.
God forbid today you could have an aneurysm of the brain, or you could have a massive stroke, and the last years of your life laying in a nursing home, a babbling idiot would not even be able to move or nothing like that. Is that right? You never know how you're going, and you don't ever know what age either. Just cause you young, I go to the nursing home all the time, and I see young people in the nursing home just like I see old people. Is that right? So you don't never know what condition you're going to be in. I've seen preachers in the nursing home that preach for years and years and years, and they up there and they don't even remember where their mind is at. I can remember going my pastor a long time ago to the nursing home. We had a lady in our church, was a member about 40 years. And can I tell you something? When we went up there with her son to visit her, she didn't even know who her son was no more. She didn't even know who Brother David was. She didn't know nothing. But can I tell you something? If that happens in your life, that you might not remember nobody, can I tell you something? There'll never be a day that God won't forget you. Right. Is that right? He'll always know who you are. Is that right? Longing to go to that home. Each and every one of us that have been saved by the grace of God.
Yeah.
Say, Lord, I'm telling you, this whole body aches and pains. Let me tell you what you can do. I was in New Orleans about maybe 3 or 4 weeks back. Had a young preacher traveling with me. Show you what fear will do to you. And I take these high-powered vitamins. And whenever they do, they change your body chemicals to other colors, if you know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. Trying to be plain. This guy's not but 29 years old. And I give him one of my vitamins to help keep him up. And it turns your urine completely yellow. I just have to say it. I don't think you understand what I'm saying. He went to the bathroom during the night, and he was screaming, Brother Johnny, give me the emergency room. I said, what's the matter with you? He said, I just went to the bathroom, and oh, it's all messed up in there. I said, son, it ain't nothing but the vitamin pill. That's all it is. Do you see what Brother John is trying to say? You let that fear of death come on you, my friend, and you'll go to calling out for God. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
But I like what the old man said. He was riding the buckboard one day. Back when he was rolling an old buckboard, he was bouncing up down an old spring seat. And he was trying to get into town, and that road was so rough. And he just kept bouncing like this and bouncing like this. And finally he said, man, this seat's about to kill me. And he seen an old man sitting up under a tree. He pulled his mule and his wagon up there and said, sir, is this road rough like this all the way into the city? And the old man sitting under the tree said, no, sir. It smooths out right on the other side of the cemetery. And that's the way it is for me and you. Is that right? It might be rough riding right now, but glory to God. It's going to be smooth all the way into the city. Just on the other side of the cemetery.
Yes, sir.
Is that right?
That's good preaching.
Paul said, I want you to know that we're in this body right now, and we're in a lot of pain. I want to give you a few points. Maybe you want to write these down. I hope it'll be a blessing to you. You see, the Jews have been longing for a long time to go home. Number one thing, how do I know when you get ready to go home? Number one thing, if you want to write this down, is when you wore your welcome out. When your welcome has completely been wore out, you are ready to go home.
Yes, sir.
When this old body gets enough aches and enough pains in it, and it just seemed like that home is longing and bidding you to go, you are ready to go. Now, I stay with a lot of people's homes. I stay in a lot of people's homes. And there's nothing no worse than staying at people's house and they don't want you there. And you feel you not wore your welcome out. Yep. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Is that true?
I believe it,
sir. Oh, man, I believe. Listen, I've stayed in some folks' house. They turned the cat loose on me. I mean, listen, they do every stinking thing you can imagine. And, you know, and they're mad because you come in, you buy the breakfast, and you're mad. They get mad about this, and they don't want you there. And you feel you wore your welcome out and you're ready to go home. And when this pain gets enough ache, I'll guarantee you, if this man got enough pain and lay up in a nursing home, I'll guarantee you he had asked Sister Becky, he had asked Brother Charles and them, pray that God will release me from this body that I can go home to be with him.
Yes, sir. No doubt.
God's got a pain machine that he can put you through. That he can make us humble anytime he wants to. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Is that true?
Yes, sir.
You see, whenever we read in John chapter 11 about Lazarus dying, Jesus is only 20 minutes away. We just read that story. Don't bother us. But can I tell you something? When death comes knocking on your door, it's a complete different story. Is that right? Once you've worn your welcome out, you're just ready to go home. You don't feel, what else can you do? Your body's in aches and pains. You can't get out no more. And that's all about Ecclesiastes chapter 12. It talks about how that your voice, you see, Sister Voice, that voice that Sister Becky's got right now. Did you know that Bible said in Ecclesiastes chapter 12 that she's going to have a baritone voice? Did you know that? Amen. Is that right? Your voice will completely wear out. Your hearing will wear out. Your hair will fall out. Your teeth will fall out. You'll get to the place that you can't hardly. That's why it says to remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth before the evil days come. Till they lock you in a nursing home and you won't know if it's daylight or sunlight. It's nighttime. Is that right?
Right. You're right, preacher.
And you just feel, I wore my welcome out. Now watch this real close. Now we hate. I don't know how many funerals that I've done lately. And I'll never forget, but this lady that I just did her funeral was one of my church members. And I'd go up there beside the bed, me and Carlene, to go visit her in the nursing home. You know the thing she'd ask for? Brother Johnny, I want to go home. I just want to go home. Now us, that has got somebody that's already gone to heaven. Somebody that you loved very much. Maybe your mom or dad or sister or brother. We hate to give them up. Because, see, Paul is using this like your own vacation here. And you're waiting to go to your long home, go to another place. Is that right?
Yes.
So watch this real close now. So Paul is using it like this. Say like my boy comes to visit us. And my boy comes out there and he comes to the house. And they come and they bring the grandchildren. And we're in there. We're just having a great time, a loving each other and a hugging each other. And then pretty soon he said, Daddy, I gotta go home. Not that he don't like his home here, but he's got his own home somewhere else he's gotta go. And I'm walking him out to the car. Will you stand up there, Brother Otis? And I'm walking him out to the car like this. I'm saying, son, I sure hate to see you go. Man, I wish you'd stay a little bit longer. I wish you'd go. And he'll turn to me and say, Dad, I just gotta go home. I got my own home over there. And maybe you had somebody that was saved that you loved very much. It's not that they wanted to leave you, but they got a home somewhere else on the other side. And then he'd get in the car, and then he'd get in the car. And I'd just hang on the door, and I'd hang on the door like this. He'd say, Daddy, I just got to go home, Daddy. I don't want to go, but Daddy, I got to go home. You see, he's got his own place.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And that Bible said in Acts chapter 1, verse 25, Judas went to his own place.
That's right. Yep.
Everybody's got a place. It's either heaven or hell.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
And they back out. Thank you so much. Now, a lot of times you get kin folks come over and you see the headlights and you can't wait for the taillights to pull out the driveway. But those you really love and you're close to, you just hate to see them go. Is that right?
Yes.
Last week I was in Charleston. And I was in Charleston. And this daughter had come in from North Carolina, from Shelby, North Carolina, to visit her folks. And she was just going to be in the morning services. And I'll never forget it, the longest day of my life. And she got up. She said, "Bye, Mama. Bye, Daddy. It's time for us to go home." And that's the way it's going to be with each and every of us one day. Once you've wore your welcome out here, it'll be time to go to that other place. Amen. Is that right? Amen. I'll tell you some reasons why I want to go home. Brother, you got my glasses, or I'll drop them down there somewhere. Number one thing is, when I want to go home, is once you wore your welcome out. Number two thing is, is when you go to missing home. When you go to outright missing home. When you go to missing home, there ain't no place like home. Is that right? God has been good to me. I've been out here on the road now for 40 years. And I've got to stay in some of the finest places you've ever seen in your life. It wouldn't matter to me if it'd be the Biltmore place here in North Carolina. I could spend the night there. I mean royalty in class. But can I tell you something? When I get through doing that meeting, I just want to go to my little 1,200 square foot house sitting up there in the hills of Tennessee and can't wait to drive up in that driveway. There's no bed like your bed. There's no place like your place. Is that right? And boy, you just go to missing home in the afternoon. In the afternoon, a lot of times in motels, I'll take me a folded chair and I'll be sitting out front. The sun will be setting and I get to thinking about my little Tennessee mountain home and I want to go back home so bad. But I'll tell you the truth. You let an ache or a pain or something like that, or singing the good songs like we sung this morning, I go to missing home. Ah, I want to go be with the Lord and go on the other side and be with Him. Hey. Is that right? Number one thing is, you'll want to go home once you wear your welcome out. Number two, you'll want to go home when you go to missing home. Number three thing that'll make you want to go home is when you know somebody's waiting on you. Is that right? When you know that there's somebody at home waiting on you. One time I'd been in a meeting. I'd been gone for about 3 or 4 weeks. And I called home and Carlene said that the grandkids was over at the house. And so I just kept thinking about them being at the house. And she'd been teaching them songs. And first one thing, another like that. And so what I did, when I got through preaching there that day, that preacher said, "Brother Johnny," I said, "Yeah." He said, "Instead of just going home, why don't you stay a few days? And Brother Wayne and Sister Becky's done that a million times. Why don't you just stay around a few days?" But can I tell you something? You got such a yearning to go home. You'll drive during the night. You'll pull off at a rest area. You'll do what you want to. When you know somebody is waiting on you there, I mean, you're just ready to go. Hey, can I tell you something? We're compassed about with a heavenly cloud of witnesses. Wow! And they're waiting on us to get home in the Lord tomorrow more than anybody. Is that right?
Yes, sir. No doubt.
The Lord is waiting on us to get to that home. And this old body gets full of aches and pains. Brother Wayne, I was talking this morning. I left my thing. I was telling some preachers that I listened to give me diabetes. I told him that because some of them sermons are so sweet it'll give you diabetes just listening to them. So last night we was in a motel and I forgot that thing that you shoot them needles, shoot them holes in your finger to make the blood come out, and I couldn't find it. So I took me a straight pin like this here and I started saying, "Oh, my fingers are sore. I must have eat them off. I feel like I eat them all to try to get the blood come out." And then this morning I forgot my belt. We had to run to Walmart and get me a belt so I'd come to church today. And I did my finger like that, my nose, my thumb hit my nose, and my nose got to bleeding. Brother Wayne said, "Why don't you just get it out of your nose?" If I had just waited, my fingers wouldn't have been so sore this morning. But what I'm trying to tell you is this. Once you know somebody is waiting on you at home, boy, I tell you, it'll make you drive. It'll make you stay up. And then so I drove all them hours. I think I drove about 14 hours to get home. I got home about 2, 3 o'clock in the morning. And when I turned in the driveway, the grandkids had put a big banner out on the carport out there. It said, "Welcome home, Papa." That's what you and I are waiting for, when we know somebody's waiting at home for you and me to get there with him. Is that right? Are you ready to go today? Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt? Do you have a longing? Do you have a longing to go be with him? If not, I'll guarantee you one thing. You ain't been in very much pain. Is that right? God put you in enough pain, I'll guarantee you'll be ready to go.
Yes, sir.
So when you know somebody's waiting on you, when you know somebody's missing you, last point here, when you be ready to go home, watch this real close. When you know your work's over with, you can't do no more. Stand up here, Brother Wayne, please, sir. You see, this preacher right here, heart trouble, knee trouble, hernia, all kinds of different problems. There's going to come a day that he'll walk out that door. He'll find his work is over with. I can't do no more. I give it my best while I was here. Ladies, there's going to come a day in your life when you felt that you've done your best. When I've done all that I can do. And that's going to be the same way in my life. And every one of us, you've raised your children. You built your church. You tried to raise your children, your grandchildren. You try to do everything you can, Brother David. It's going to be the same thing with you. Once one day there's going to come to the end, and God's going to say it's over with. I've read the story of the old black slave, John P. Jasper was his name. And old John P. and old John P. got saved one night in a tent meeting. He wrote a sawmill for Master Hargrave. And he went back to that sawmill, and he was in the sawmill witnessing all them blacks about Jesus saving his soul. And one old black girl there cut the saw down. The sawmill was running to cut the saw logs. And Master Hargrave in a big apartment building upstairs with the sawmill hollered out, "What's going on down there? Why'd y'all cut that saw off?" And a little old black girl hollered out, said, "Master Hargrave, John P. Jasper said that King Jesus done come down and saved his old black soul. He said, John, start that saw back and you come up here to my office." And old John went up there and pulled his hat up and said, "Yassir, Master." He said, "John P., what was that black girl talking about that?" He said, "Master Hargrave," he said, "last night I went to an old time camp meeting there, and God saved my soul and changed me. And I went back to tell everybody what God done for old John P. Jasper." He said, "John P., I want you to know that I'm a child of God, that I've been born again myself. I'm going to pay you 6 months' pay to run all over this country and tell people what God did in your life." And old John, everywhere he'd go, he said, "I got a black face, I got a black hand, but I got a white heart."
Amen.
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 And old John P. said, "I knows." I read the last chapter of his book. John P. says, "When I get home to glory world," and he said, "them angels are going to say, John P. Jasper, what are you doing trying to get in here?" He said, "The only thing I'll be able to tell them is, I got in here by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ."
Amen.
They said, "John, we can't bar nobody from heaven." Said nobody.
Amen. Amen.
And old John P. said, "I got in." He said, "I hung my sword on the glimmering walls of God." He said, "John P. Jasper, report for duty." And that's going to be my friend right here one day. And myself. And you.
Sure.
You're going to want to go home when you feel it's over with. My preacher friend said that they, those old ladies would hand him the letter and say, they told us we got 30 days to be out. My kids don't never come back to see me. Some of them dropped him off. One of them said 19 years.
Right.
Not had a visitor in 19 years. Mm-hmm. Nobody here. Nobody to care. Their mental facilities is gone. Their bodies is wore out. And nobody to take care of them.
Right.
Nobody to take care of them. I got to tell this. I got to go. I'll never forget. I was with Brother David one time. We was visiting. And I was just a young preacher then. And I was down, I was visiting the lady. I was down by the nursing station. And the lady said, and I was just young. I wasn't about 28, 29 years old. And the lady at the nurse's station said, "Hey, preacher." I said, "Yeah." She said, "I wish that you'd go down at the end, down here in the lobby, down at the end. There's an old man. has been in here for years and years. And ain't nobody come seeing him. Ain't nobody come seeing him. Would you go down there and see him? I said, I'll be glad to. And I went down to the inn and I walked in there. When I did, the old man, Brother Randy, was standing, the bed was here, and he was looking out the window a lot. He just looking out the window. And I went out and said, sir, I'd like to talk to you for a minute. You know, and he turned around, he see me standing there. He said, I'll be all right, son. And I don't know, you say some silly things. You say some silly things being a young preacher. And I said, well, that lady at the nurse's station said that you ain't had nobody here to visit you in a long time.
Tell it, preacher.
He said, son, I don't know where you heard that.
Tell it, preacher.
He said, I got somebody that lives with me in station.
Oh my.
I went there to help him, and I'm the one that got the help. He was just longing for home. That's all he was longing for. He knew that his work was over. Everybody abandoned him, didn't even know him no more. But he knew that he had a home on yonder shore.
Amen.
What about you? What about you? Do you long for that home? My good friend back there, Brother Ken, has got a bad leg. So many people, our bodies seem like they just wore out. But glory to God, one day we're going to get a brand new body. No more aches and no more pains and no more sorrows. And we'll be home with the Lamb that died for us. When you are, you welcome out. Do what? That's right. Amen, sister. No more tears. Let's bow our heads, please. You're here today. You say, Brother Johnny, as I'm in this church today, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I've been born again. I know, Brother Johnny, that there was a day and a time and a place when I trusted Christ and he come into my heart, he saved me and he changed me. I want you to listen to this. Sometime back, I was at the Lupton Drive Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee. And they had just had a funeral. A man had buried his wife. And the man was in this church service that I was in that day. And he was passing out these little flyers that he had at his wife's funeral. And the title of the thing here says, If Tomorrow Never Comes. He told his wife, he said, if I'd have knew this was the last time that you'd fall asleep, I would have tucked you in more tightly and prayed the Lord your soul to keep. If I'd have knew been the last time that you would walk out that door, I'd give you a hug and kiss and call you back for just one more. If I knew that it'd be the last time that I'd hear your voice lifted up in praise, he said, I'd videotape every word so that I could play it back day after day. If I knew it'd be the last time that I could spare an extra minute or two to just stop and say, honey, I love you. Instead of assuming that you would always know I do. If I knew that it would be the last time that I'd have to share your day, well, I was sure that we'd have so many more. So I wouldn't let this one slip away. For surely there's always tomorrow to make up an oversight. And we'll always get a second chance to make things right. There will always be another day I thought to say I love you. And certainly there's another chance to say anything that I can do. Oh, but he said, but just in case I might be wrong, and today is all I get, I'd like to say how much I love you and I hope you never forget. What about you? Oh, we're doing good this morning. We're all here. We got our little family and our little children together. But that could be your wife. Died of an aneurysm. Had left a church service. That left a church service. And hadn't been home in the bed 2 hours and died in the bed. And that's what he wrote for her. If I'd have known this had been the last day, I would have videotaped you. I would have put it on tape saying, honey, I love you. But I just assumed that we'd be together forever. What about you, my friend? Maybe there's somebody that you need to go to. You see, our blessings is not just in cars and Cadillacs and material things. Sometimes our biggest blessings is them to come walking on 2 feet. That love you and take care of you. I tell you, I appreciate my wife. A lot of times I don't show it. But I do appreciate her trying to help keep me together and keep my clothes ready to help me so I can stay on the road. Never fusses, never complains. Prays for me when I'm gone. Prays for me when I'm gone. And Carlene, I want to go on record that I love you and I appreciate everything you do to help me. I don't think we just tell each other enough. And like that man said, I'd have videoed it and I'd have taped it if I'd have thought this had been the last day. You're here today, you say, Brother Johnny, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I'm born again. I'd like every twice born child of God know that you've got a home in glory land. Brother Wayne, when I was a young boy, I lived in the ghetto. I lived up on top of some big old apartments down in the ghetto in New Orleans. We used to raise pigeons. Us boys in the gang would raise pigeons. And up on top of them buildings, we'd turn them pigeons loose and they'd circle all over the city of New Orleans. But they always come back home because they was homing pigeons. And those boys would put notes on their legs to give them to other places, but as soon as they got that note, they'd turn them pigeons loose. Are you ready to fly home today? Then you have a home in the glory world. Every twice born child of God, will you signify it by an uplifted hand and say, Brother Johnny, I know that I'm saved. I know that I'm saved. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Thank you so much. You can put them down there. I think that was every hand in the house, but if it didn't and you're not saved today, if you don't have a home in the glory world, will you say, pray for me, Brother Johnny? Would there be one? Would there be one? I'm not sure, Brother Johnny, if I got a home. Pray for me. Now, why don't we do this? We're going to stand. But I want to do something kind of different this morning. We done had an altar of prayer. Why don't somebody that's been a blessing to you, why don't you go to them and let them know what a blessing and a help that they've been to you? It might be your mama. You don't know what your mama's been through. I heard Brother Randy talking about how they do you when your children don't seem like to please the church and to please everybody and how they'll beat you up about what your kids do. We've been through that. We've been through that. We've been through that. We've been through every bit of it. And they'll cast your name out as evil. They'll cast your name out as evil. So there had to be something wrong in the house. No, it don't. The man that he taught about, the prodigal's daddy, was the best daddy in the Bible. He still had a rebellious son.
Yes, sir. Right, sir.
So what if we just do today and just thank each other and thank God we got a home and go to somebody that's been blessed to you? Let's all stand if we would, please. What song you got, sister?